want your soul.
A half dozen police cars crowded the gravel driveway, their headlights lighting up a row of trees. The gnarled shadows they threw against the walls of the farmhouse swayed gently. I pulled my hair back into a ponytail as I stepped over a line of yellow police tape. I didn't want to be accused of contaminating any evidence or doing anything I shouldn't be. A young officer eyed me suspiciously as I approached the house, but let me pass through the front door. He knew why I was there. I found Jack's corpse in the upstairs bedroom, the blood from his self-inflicted gunshot wound still wet and sticky. Detective Marston, a thin balding man, stood in the corner of the room writing something in a notebook. "Hello, Jane," he said as I stepped to the doorway. "I'm surprised you didn't beat me here." I ignored the comment, squatting down near Jack's body. Most of his head was missing, and a thick iron scent hung in the air. The old man wore a pair of blue overalls now spackled with blood. A piece of paper poked out of his chest pocket. I shot a look over my shoulder at Detective Marston and said, "Do you mind?" "Be my guest," he replied. I pulled the paper out and unfolded it delicately. There were a few words written in a shaky hand, and it read, "It keeps getting closer. It keeps coming closer." I took a picture of the note with my phone before handing it over to the detective for him to read it. He read it a few more times, then paused. I knew he wanted to ask me about it, even if he hated that he needed me. "Well, you gotta have some kind of an explanation of this for me, right?" he asked. I did, but Marston didn't need to know what my guess was. I'd been working this case for 3 months, and with these suicides, I'd finally managed to win his trust. I wasn't about to blow all my credibility on a guess that would have him questioning my sanity. Instead, I shot a look down the hallway. "Maybe I do. I've got a few questions first. All the mirrors in the house are broken, right? I assume." "Yep, just like the other cases. Anything that can show a reflection is either broken or thrown out," he said. "Who found this one?" "I found this body myself. You guessed that he'd be the next to go, so I decided to drive out here and check on him." I swung my head around at the sound of crunching gravel. A car came to a stop in front of the house. The headlights flicked off and a girl stepped out, her hands covering her mouth. She looked to be around 20 years old. I shot a questioning look at Detective Marston. "It's Olivia, his granddaughter. She's the only one left alive in Jack's family. We called her about a half an hour ago." He stared at me, his eyes hard. "Is she going to be the next one?" I shut my eyes and rubbed my forehead. Yeah, probably," Marston cursed. I handed him a business card. "If he wrote anything else down or you find anything, why don't you please let me know?" He took the card with a grunt and stuffed it into his back pocket. I left the room and made my way out of the house and down the driveway. I stopped in front of the girl and extended my hand. "I'm very sorry for your loss. My name is Jane. I'm a private investigator and I'm working this case." Olivia's eyes hardened, and she didn't take my hand. "I don't have anything to say to a reporter." "I'm not a reporter, okay?" I paused for a minute, gathering my resolve. "And if you don't come with me, I think you're going to die like the rest of your family." Her eyes widened. "Whatever's causing these suicides, it's spreading. Spreading to friends and family of the victims. First it was your aunt, then your cousin, and now your grandpa. You're the last one. It might already be too late for all I know, but it's possible I can help you." She looked from me to the farmhouse over my shoulder, suddenly looking as if she might start crying. "Okay, what should I do?" she asked. "You need to come with me." She paused for another moment before nodding, and we walked to my car. "Olivia, don't look at any mirrors on my car or otherwise." "Why?" she asked. Just don't. Just trust me. She stared at me as if I was crazy, but when she saw I was serious, she agreed. I drove towards the road, gravel crunching under my tires. The first few minutes of the drive passed by in silence. Olivia then took a deep breath and turned to look at me. So, what do you think's going to happen to me? Well, first I'll tell you what I know, and then I'll tell you what I think, I said, running over the details in my mind. The pattern for each victim is exactly the same. According to their friends and family, victims start by showing erratic and paranoid behavior. Yeah, Grandpa Jack was the same, ever since he found my aunt's body, she said. I nodded. Their paranoid behavior is always followed by their breaking or covering of all reflective surfaces. Suicide usually comes next. The next victim is almost always a close friend or family member, typically in the same household. They also begin to show the same paranoid symptoms. They commit suicide soon after, and then the psychosis spreads again. Wait a minute, if that's what you know, what do you guess? She asked. I swallowed hard. I don't think that this is the work of a serial killer, and that's what's concerning me. Each method of suicide is different, and I don't know of any drugs or poison that can cause a specific kind of psychosis in victims ranging from teenagers to retirees. I then shook my head. I probably should have dismissed that possibility a long time ago, but it wasn't making sense. Okay, well, if it's not a serial killer, then what is it? I started to talk, but my voice trailed off as we reached my apartment. I paused to park and walk up the flight of stairs to my door, locking the deadbolt behind us for all the good it'd do. Okay, well, what is it? She asked again. I walked into my home office and pulled out a folder. I've followed up on nearly 30 deaths over the past 3 months, and some of them left suicide notes. I pulled out the pictures I'd taken from the crime scenes. Most of the suicide notes were short, and all were disjointed and confusing. I handed them to her one at a time, and they read. I saw it reflected in Marge's eyes. Even her eyes aren't safe. I can't sleep. It'll be watching me. The fingers, the fingers. It was in my rearview mirror today. It almost touched me. Olivia continued to flip through each of the suicide notes, saying different things, very short sentences, and her expression growing more and more disturbed. I finally pulled out my phone and showed her the note her grandfather had written. It keeps getting closer. It keeps coming closer. Was this for my grandpa? She asked, and her voice choked now. Yeah, and like I said, I think you're next. She stared at me in horror. What should I do? I thought for a minute, and then I told her. Every victim broke their mirrors, and several mentioned reflections in their suicide notes. That means it's best for you if you avoid them. I'll cover the one hanging in my bathroom right now, and you should also give me your phone. The black screen has a reflection. I don't want to take any chances. She nodded numbly. I took down my bathroom mirror and set it in the corner of my living room before covering it with a blanket. You can sleep on the couch. Let's talk about this tomorrow. And she agreed. It was hard to sleep that night as I laid in bed. My mind was flooded with images of the brutal suicides I'd investigated over the past months. Olivia was a rare opportunity now. I had control over a victim before psychosis set in. Maybe I could save her. The next morning, I woke up and found Olivia sitting on my couch, staring into space. Her head swiveled at me, and I was afraid I'd see violence or fear in her eyes, but instead, I saw intensity. I need to look in the mirror, she said. What? Why would you do that? We just talked about that. Whatever the others saw was enough to basically break their minds. It could still kill you. I need to know what it is. You can cover it back up once I see it. I almost rejected the idea, but my curiosity got the better of me. Would I see something in the reflection behind her? Was one exposure enough to kill her? I took a moment to think about it and decided that this might be worth consideration. Okay, I said, bringing my still-covered mirror out from the corner. I grabbed the corner and slowly lifted the blanket, watching Olivia's face for any reaction. She stared at the mirror intently until the blanket was pulled away. Then she shook her head and looked up at me. "I don't see anything." Really? My mind was racing now. Maybe it had jumped to a neighbor instead. Maybe Jack had a bowling friend or something. And then my phone rang. The chirp made me jump. I looked quickly at the display and it was Detective Marston. "Detective, you have any new information for me?" I see it," he said, his voice trembling now. "What?" I asked, and my face suddenly grew cold. "I broke the mirror so I wouldn't see it anymore. But it's still reflected in the shards. Jane, please help me. You said you had a guess. Why didn't you tell me about this?" "Oh, God, I thought about it again. If I look in the bathroom, I'll see it. Even on my phone." His voice then trailed off with the sound of the phone hitting the floor. "Marston," I shouted. "Marston, I'm coming." I hung up and immediately turned to Olivia. "I was wrong. It wasn't you. It's a detective. There still might be time, but we need to leave now." I ran down to my car, surprised that Olivia was running down the steps right behind me. We sped across town, Olivia dialing the police while I snaked down several windy country roads. I reached Marston's house and told Olivia to stay in the car. I hopped out of the car and ran to the steps of his front door, and it was unlocked. Marston laid inside the bathtub, with blood spattering the white tiles. A piece of shattered mirror hung limply in one hand, and he'd taken it to his own neck. I looked away, doing my best to choke down the vomit that rose in my throat. And then he gasped, his eyes flicking open. I didn't even know him," he said, his voice raspy and gurgling. "I just found the body, that was all." His voice trailed off, blood choking off his words. His head then slumped forward, a few drops flicking off his nose. I leaned against the wall of the bathroom, trying to control my breathing. It was the most gruesome thing I'd ever seen. Then I looked slowly to my left. His medicine cabinet still hung on the wall, and its mirror had been shattered in the center, long cracks surrounding a central point. I saw myself reflected 24 times in the individual shards. I then thought back through all the cases, all the victims, family members, friends, and neighbors. They weren't just close to the victims. Each of them had found the victims' bodies. I looked at Marston's now lifeless body, and then I looked back at the mirror. The mirror then swung, changing my view from myself to a view of the kitchen, and a figure stood there, reflected 24 times in the shards as well. It was impossible to get a good view of the damage, but it was a creature with eyes sunken deep in its skull. Its hands had long, gnarled fingers, and its body was black, and it was staring back at me. I thought Marston's body was the worst thing I'd ever seen, but this was far, far worse. I slammed my palms over my eyes, and the broken image of the creature burned into my brain like a hot iron. I vomited immediately onto the tiles before running out the front door with my hands still clamped firmly onto my face. My foot hit the top step and twisted, and I fell down the rest of them in a tangled heap. Blood then oozed from the scrapes on my elbows, knees, and forehead, but I didn't remove my hands from my eyes. I laid in the grass, the warm sun on my face, and I wished for nothing more than the will to claw my own eyes out. That thing was on to me now. It was following me. I had no doubt. I had no doubt it was getting closer. The thought of seeing it again forced me to my side, where I vomited again. "Jane," Olivia called out, scrambling over to me. "Jane, what's going on?" "You're not next, Olivia," I said, my voice a little more than a whisper. "It's me. I'm next."